This is the Public Forum 1 on March 7th, 2016 in the Atlas Room from 1700 to 1830.
So why don't we check to check that it's all going through to the hub.
Okay.
Am I on here? Can you hear me? You can, okay. So, we're doing a new test, because we're going to the hubs in this session, I believe. So, I just want to just test, you're doing, no, I'll come back to you. I'll come back, 1 second. We're just doing a test to the hubs. And so, if we could just test English, please. Thank you.
Okay. This is the English, the Spanish-English booth. This is the Spanish interpreter speaking into English, into the channel, English channel. This is a test for the remote participation. This is a test for remote participants. Can remote participants hear me? I am the English.
We'll now go to French, so it's all in order. Thank you. So, So... if you could interpret to Spanish so that they can then do the French, because that's how we're doing it, isn't it? So you need to talk something in Spanish so that then they can then interpret it into the French, from the Spanish to the French and then out. So then we're just testing that we now should be getting the French out on there. So hopefully he can see it and we can get confirmation that we are getting French on channel 2. As soon as he gives me the thumbs up, we'll stop doing this particular program. And we will continue on with sitting back and relaxing. So he's given me the thumbs up, but I want to just keep going. And now, so that was channel 2. It's good, right? Okay, so that's fantastic. Thank you. We won't worry about that. So then, okay. So we are doing some testing, just because this is going to the hubs. So now we've tested the English, French, and Spanish. And now we're going to test the Arabic. So if you could speak some Arabic for us, I will get the thumbs up that we're getting Arabic through the hubs. Okay, I've got the thumbs up already on that one. And so you're going straight from English to Portuguese, aren't you? So that would be great if you could speak some Portuguese for me and just keep talking there. And okay, and I'll see if I get them. See if I get something there. So get thumbs up for Portuguese. Thumbs up for I've got thumbs up for Portuguese. Thank you very much indeed. Now, is there Chinese and Russian on this one? Should be. Okay. So we're expecting Chinese and Russian as well, but no interpreters. Okay, it will save time, won't it? So I'm going to get one of the other interpreters to go in the booth for us, and she's going to speak on the Chinese channel. Yep, so we're talking Chinese on channel 4. Chinese on channel 4. Okay, thank you. Chinese on channel 4, we got the thumbs up for that. And yeah, great, okay, that's lovely, thank you. And now I'm getting another interpreter to go into the Russian booth for me, and we're going to just test the... Russian. So this is now Russian and should be coming out on the Russian channel. I've got a thumbs up for that. Lovely. Thank you very much indeed. Perfect. Great. Yeah, that's fine. Off. Perfect. Thank you. I don't think she wants it in the Russian booth.
Hey, 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 check, check. Hey, Daryl, check. Hey, check, check, check. 1, 2, lectern. Hey, hey, lectern, check, check. 1, 2, check, check, check. Hey, 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 check. 1, 2.
Yeah, he can. Let me talk, 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 talk. 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8. He can see him.
Am I going to hand this off to each one as they go? Or just leave it? Yeah, leave it there.
Check 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Good.
One, two.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would be kind enough to take your seats, we'd like to begin our ICANN board meeting this afternoon. Once again, if you'd be kind enough to take your seats. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, if you would be kind enough to take your seats, we would appreciate it so we can begin our ICANN public meeting. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is with great pleasure that I introduce ICANN Board Chair, Dr. Stephen Crocker.
Am I on? Yes. Thank you, Nancy. So, hello. Welcome to the ICANN 55 Public Forum. As you know, this is basically ICANN's open microphone session where the community can speak directly and unfiltered to the board, and not only to the board, but more importantly, perhaps, to the rest of the community. We have slides up here? Yes. Okay. So this year, this time, right now, we're launching a new public forum format. This is in conjunction with the change in the whole meeting schedule, of which this meeting goes by the very complicated nomenclature called our A meeting. It'll be followed, you can guess, by a B meeting and a C meeting later this year. And so all of this flows out of recommendations that came from the meeting strategy working group that worked for 2 years with lots of public consultation. And I make a point of saying all that because if you have complaints, we're going to say, well, where were you when these were being decided? That doesn't mean we can't make adjustments, but don't just yell at us. It was a community decision. So in this setup, we've broken the public forum into two parts, or alternatively, you can say we have two public forums. Today's will run for what was supposed to be 90 minutes and is now down to 81 minutes. And on Thursday, we'll have another 2.5 hours allocated to this process. So I've told you what a public forum is. Let me tell you what it is not. It's not intended to be a replacement for public comments that ICANN seeks on various issues and policies. If you want to weigh in on a specific issue that is up for public comment, please use the online system and submit them. We have a tracking system, and we try to be careful and complete in the processing there. It's the only way for your comments will receive proper consideration from the appropriate committee, supporting organizations, and staff members. That's not to say we ignore what happens here. We definitely try to pay attention here as well, but it's a less organized and not well-formed kind of process. All right. So with that, let me turn things over to Brad White, our Director of Communications for North America, who will give you an overview of this specific public forum, how questions will be fielded, etc. Brad?
Thanks, Steve. As Steve said, this one's going to be a little bit different, so we're going to start off with very brief reports, 5 minutes or less, from representatives of the various ACs and SOs. Then we'll open it up to floors from the question, or excuse me, open the floor up to questions from the community. We also have remote access, so people not in the room can participate. Like always, we prefer questions over comments, particularly so at this one. Since we're having another public forum on Thursday, part of the thinking here with the meeting strategy working group is some questions that are raised here can potentially be answered at the Thursday meeting. So while we always say questions are better than comments, it's particularly amplified at this particular meeting. There is a microphone right here that you can queue up to. Those of you who have been to a public forum before know that we function on the rule of twos. So you'll have 2 minutes to ask your question, make your comment. The board will have 2 minutes to respond and so on. If you have follow-up questions, you again have just 2 minutes. That's the basic overview. This is very much something we're trying for the first time. So bear with us as we stumble through possibly a few rough production patches, although we've done our best to prevent them. And tell us afterwards what works and what doesn't. With that, Steve, I'll throw it back to you.
Thank you very much. Page 3. I have a big part here. Thank you, Brad. So I'm going to turn things over to Erica, who will run this part of the session. We're going to start with reports from the AC and SO reports and then move into our Q&A portion. I see that Sebastian is ready right now, but I'm going to turn things over to Erica, so it's up to you.
Thank you so much, Steve. Sebastian, do we have time that we can hear first the reports? Or is there something you want to say ahead of the report? Ahead of the report? Okay, go on.
Merci beaucoup, Sébastien Bachelet.
This is Sébastien Bachelet. I am an ALAC member and European Internet User Representative, and I'm a former representative for the committee which defined the meeting strategy. I believe it is important to insist at the very beginning of a meeting like this, it is important to take into account that people speaking in languages different from English are necessary. That's it. I mean, you have to speak in your own native languages. We have marvelous interpreters, so you can speak in your own languages. And I believe that there are many people reading the transcription in English. So please use your headphones, use the live interpretation services so that you can listen to the audiences. That's why we have all these tools available for the community. Now, secondly, questions that you would like to ask, please do not ask only those questions to the boards, but please ask those questions to other participants. The fact of being able to have two public forum sessions makes it possible to make questions today in order to answer those questions in the following days, and for these questions to be discussed in the ACs and SOs. And these questions might be discussed by the board and by the supporting organizations and advisory committees. This is what I wanted to say, and sorry for interrupting you before the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian, and thank you very much for the you were absolutely at the core of the meeting strategy work, and I thank you for all of that. I know you've been a strong proponent of providing support in many ways for linguistic support everywhere. There's a big difference between a plan and what actually happens, and so I was very eager to listen to you in real time as opposed to having to read the transcription. Let me hold up three dead phones here. None of the batteries seem to be working in this thing, so we have a little bit of execution that we have to fix up here. Yeah?
Yeah, but thank you so much, Sebastian. This was good to mention this because it's so often forgotten how many languages we actually have available and the great work the translators are doing all the time. So let us give them a big clap. I don't know where they're sitting. They're sitting all in the back. Let them thank them. It is hard work and not very visible, but we all profit from it. So what we want to do, Steve mentioned already, it's a new format. So we want to try something new again. And we have two cycles of presentations right now coming up. So the first is ACs and then afterwards the SO. And I will start with Alan Greenberg from ALAC. Would you be so kind to come up here and do the presentation? We do this one by one, about 5 minutes each, and then we will do, hopefully we will have enough munition then for a debate and a lively discussion afterwards. Alan, please.
All right. There's a little red light. Now they're working. Thank you. Thank you very much. I will comment. There's a minor problem in that the slides I'm supposed to be looking at are covered by someone's head, but I have my own copy here. The at-large community and the ALAC are in ICANN representing the interests of internet end users. Now, that's a rather interesting challenge. The organization that was created in late 2002 is a relatively complex one. It's a hierarchical structure. The physical embodiment of at large in ALAC in ICANN is the ALAC, the at large advisory committee. There are five regional at large organizations for each of the five ICANN regions. And then within each RALO, we have groups which have the very imaginative name at large structures. Many of the RALOs also have end users. Currently, we have 198 ALSs with two in the process of being certified. So another week or so, I could have said 200, and we'll have 90 countries plus individual members. So it's a large structure. It's complex. It's multi-level. The design was one thing. As Steve said, theory is one thing, implementation is something else altogether. There are, I won't say problems, but clearly there are difficulties in how we make this kind of structure work. There's lots of interest in the world in the internet, less interest perhaps in what ICANN does. If you take someone who's English-speaking, well-educated, technology-based even, and try to tell them what some of the things we do are, you'll get people's eyes rolling. If you then take in the fact that English is not the first language for the vast majority of our people, and add in that English is a non-language for the very large part of our overall community, we have some interesting problems. And we're doing a number of things to address those. And this is one of our major activities that we have going on at the moment. We are, first of all, reviewing and revising the membership rules. We want to make sure that if an ALS applies, that indeed there's an intersection between what they're interested in, what At Large is doing, and what ICANN is doing, rather. We want to enhance the ability for individual members. So people who have an interest in working with ICANN and working with At Large can do it without any real impediments. We have a real challenge to get information out to these groups in languages they can understand, both in terms of the jargon and in terms of the actual language they're using. Obviously, if we're talking to organizations that have hundreds of people, we're not talking directly to them. We're talking through yet another intermediary, their management. And we're working hard to make sure we can engage with the actual workers and to maintain regular contact with them. So we're very optimistic that within the next little while, we'll have processes in place which can really engage the people on the ground in these countries. And that's going to be exciting. One of the major activities we've been working on, no surprise, is the IANA transition and accountability. The ALAC representatives, the formal members on the CWG and CCWG, plus other participants, to say they were very active is sort of an understatement. I think we've been annoyingly active from some people's perspective. But certainly we have been very, very active. We have our own support group to make sure that what we're talking about was not just the five members in each group, but was the considered opinion of a much larger group. We overall had almost 80 meetings in consulting with the community and about 2,000 person hours involvement, and that's over and above the various briefings we did to both ALAC directly and At Large. As is on record, on the 25th of June, we approved the CWG accountability, and I'm delighted to say yesterday at around 3:30 in the afternoon, we approved the CCWG accountability. I'm sorry, the first one was the stewardship and the accountability yesterday. And we have a strong commitment from the ALAC and the larger community to be active and participate in the follow-on work in Workstream 2. The other thing that continues to take a lot of our time and has for the last several years are issues related to GTLDs and where users are affected. We're continuing to work on an issue related to public interest commitments and the GAC advice from the Beijing meeting on controlled TLDs. And we still believe that there needs to be work And certainly as we go into a potential second round and the CCT review, we need to focus on the issues that were raised at that point and understand whether there is a problem and to what extent the, and to what extent that problem needs to be addressed as we go forward. We have been quite active in the whole issue, the whole range of meeting of reviews and working groups on what used to be called Who Is, now is the Registration Data Services, RDS, and of course the proxy services that go along with it. And lastly, we are very strong supporters of IDN, Internationalized Domain Names. As mentioned before, a large percentage of the community that we represent doesn't speak English. They don't use Latin script. And the availability of IDNs at all levels within the domain name structure is, has been exceedingly crucial and important to us, and we continue to focus on that. And that, oops, I'm now going into RSAC. And that's it. Thank you. I hope I made my 5 minutes.
Thank you so much, Alan. Always impressive to see the numbers of meeting and the people involved, and gives us a little bit of insight how complex actually our organization is in total. Next presentation is from the GAC, Gemma Campilios, who's the vice chair, please.
Salam alaikum. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to me to be here. I'm going to speak in Spanish, if you don't mind.
This is Gemma Campillo speaking. I would like to highlight the presence of Thomas Schneider and excuse him for not being here because he is now meeting with the Minister of Trade and Economy, Digital Economy of the Kingdom of Morocco, who is now presiding the high-level meeting at the GAC. In this meeting, the GAC comes with a representation of 162 members and 35 observers. This is a show of the interest of GAC for ICANN activities and the internal diversity it has achieved. The agenda of the Governmental Advisory Committee in Marrakesh is set by two main topics. One of them is the final adoption by our committee of the proposal to reform ICANN in terms of self-control. And the other topic is the celebration of the high-level meeting I have mentioned before. The GAC today is part of the Intersectorial Committee for ICANN Reform and must issue its opinion about the proposal that has been presented for the achievement of the goals that were set, and this should be done before the end of the Marrakesh meeting. The decision will not be easy since there are certain discomfort. There are some countries or certain countries have certain discomfort in terms of some topics of the final proposal. The Governmental Advisory Committee is expecting to finish its discussion and adopting a decision tomorrow. Taking into account this priority, the GAC still wants to deal with other topics that are really important for governments and international organizations, such as the review of the new GTLD programs, the kickoff of these of the committee to evaluate or assess the benefits of the new GTLD program in relation to consumers and consumers' choice. And we will also discuss some other internal topics. On Wednesday, we will have our usual joint meeting with the ICANN Board of Directors.
in the high-level meeting, which is the second hallmark in our here in our meeting in Marrakesh, takes place every 2 years, and this is the third time we celebrate such a meeting. On this occasion, this is presided by the Mr. Alani, the Minister of Morocco, and we have the presence of many important politicians from the African continent. The government representatives have discussed different aspects related to the transition, the IANA transition, and the oversight of the IANA functions. And during the afternoon, they are discussing issues related to government engagement from developing countries in the industry of domain names and within ICANN. Finally, the meeting, the GAC meeting room, is placed in the room called Palmerai Palace, and there all the sessions will be held for the drafting of the communique, the GAC communique, and this is a document which is separate from the declaration that will be issuing in terms of ICANN reform. All these sessions, but for those that sessions, all the other sessions are open, and you are kindly invited to attend those sessions. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you so much, Gemma. Next is on the list is Brett Wert from ERSAC, the co-chair.
Just a quick correction, that was RSEC. My name is Brad Bird. I am the co-chair of RSEC. I have one slide, and hopefully I'll get through this as quickly and accurately as possible. Real quick, RSEC, we advise on matters relating to the operation, administration, security, and integrity of the root server system. This is a very narrow scope, but very critical to the DNS ecosystem. The formal RSEC committee is comprised of representatives from each of the root server operators, the root zone management partners, and liaisons from the community. And in addition to the formal committee, we have the caucus, which is made up of roughly over 70 subject matter experts. And as you can see, a large portion of them are not directly related to root server operations. The caucus is responsible for delivering the output of RSEC. The actual work gets done with the caucus. I want to cover the publications that we've done since Dublin. The first one, RSEC 001. This one defines server expectations for root server service expectations for root server operators. This document has been on the shelf for a bit. It's been done for a while, and there's been a bit of administration and timing to get this published, as we were worked with the IAB to publish its counterpart, which there's a document that the IAB has worked through their system and published, which defines the protocols for root server operators. And then RSEC 001 is the other half of it that defines the service expectations around those protocols that the operators perform. RSEC 002 is a document that defines a number of measurements and metrics that each of the root server operators collect and publish for consumption by the community. And version 2 was a minor update to some fields and measurements that, based upon operational experience, needed to be modified. In addition, we had two public statements, one on the CCWG proposal, and one was a workshop report. The workshop was the first of its kind for RSAC. We took the formal committee, locked them in a room for a number of days, and we talked about root server system topics, and we provided a report on that. Current work. We have a root server system naming scheme work party. This group is looking at how we actually name root server operators and if we are if we need to modify it. Given the evolution of the DNS ecosystem and the root zone, we thought it prudent to ask the question, is there anything that we need to change about things that have been in place for a long period of time? Again, you see RSEC 002. This is the metrics document. Part of this document is to be reviewed every it's called out in the document that it should be reviewed every year. This will be version 3 that the work party is working on, and there'll be some substantial changes to RSEC 002, modifying the current metrics and adding a number, quite a few more to it. And lastly, but certainly not least, is this: as we've been working through these documents and public statements, and working in the community, it became very apparent to us in RSAC that there was no document that memorialized the history of the root server system. So we thought no better place than RSAC to start this, and we worked in collaboration with the root server operators, both past and present, and a number of experts who have been involved in the root server system going back to its beginning, to document its history. I can say it's a fantastic read. It's really, really interesting. I learned a number of things from it, and I look forward to providing this to the community for your consumption. The current work, all three of those documents, we expect to have complete before ICANN 56. And with that, thank you.
Thank you. Next is Patrick Feldström from ESSAC.
Thank you very much. I'm Patrick Feldström. I'm chair of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. And I will bring you up to date on two specific issues that we are working with at the moment. The first one is related to the two reports by ESSAC, numbered 63 and 73. They're related to a so-called key rollover for the root zone. And that is something that implies that we are changing the key material that is used for the trust of DNSSEC, which we all use to ensure that the responses we get from the DNS servers in the world are correct, given that we are using validation. ESSAC have had and do have the view that this key rollover process should start as soon as possible. It is an operational procedure, which of course should not start too soon. But it is a process that takes some time. And in SAC 63 from 2013, we pointed out to ICANN and the community how important we felt that this process actually starts. Because we didn't see from our perspective and nothing's happening, we also sent a letter to the ICANN board in the form of ESSAC 73, where we pointed out that the community and people using DNS started to ask what is happening. We are aware of a design team that have been working on a report and that is planning how this actual key rollover process is going to work. Several members of ESSAC has also been members of that design team. The design team I presented to ESSAC and the community at various places, the process laid out, and so far we have not heard anyone that is objecting to any of the steps in the process, although there might be external things that blocks certain steps in the process. The important thing, once again, is that this start. So our hope is that we can start the process of rolling the keys for the root zone, and would like to make the community aware of this change, that it will happen. We encourage ICANN to start a communication program to actually explain to parties what this involves. We have done these kind of key rollovers for the trust anchors before, specifically in CCTLDs like .se before the route was signed, so we have done it before. We also done other changes to the route zone, like adding IPv6 glue. We added, we started signing it, and we added new GTLDs, and we are still here, and we can still use the internet. So operationally, it's not a big thing, but it's still the case that it has never been done before to this scale, and that's why it's important to plan correctly. The second thing I wanted to mention is SAC77. We commented on the GTLD marketplace KPI proposal, and our comments is that we don't really believe in the how the quality of what is described in the proposed document. We do understand that the idea with the document was to trigger feedback, which we now provide from ESSEC. And we think that the most important thing, and the reason why I bring it up here and not only send some sort of publicly in the public comment process, is that we think it's really, really important that when someone is developing a KPI, you have to start thinking about what you actually want to measure. What is the actual end result? And when you know that, then, and first then, you should look at what data you need to be able to come to those conclusions. After we presented this to a number of the SO and ACs so far during the weekend, we have got feedback and other documents where people in other places in ICANN also are developing KPIs, and it seems to be the end where people ask for ESSEC's help. So it seems to be the case that this is a sort of a generic call to everyone to, if it is the case that you want to draw certain conclusions, start by thinking about what you want to measure and then look at the data. Don't go blind looking at what data you have and then try to find what conclusions you can draw from it. So that's basically SAC77. It is specifically a specific comment on one specific document, but we hope that it is written in a way so that the general methodology that we describe can be used in other places. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Patrick. We now turn to the supporting organization. And we have as first the ASO and the chair from the number organization. So please, Oscar.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. The Number Resource Organization, the NRO, is a coordination body for the 5 regional internet registries, the RIRs, that manage the distribution of internet number resources, including IP addresses and autonomous system numbers. Each RIR consists of the internet community in its region. Together, the RIRs serve more than 30,000 members worldwide. The RIRs predate ICANN, but we are part of the ICANN system, and we have supported from the start. In particular, on the understanding that ICANN would eventually gain independence from the U.S. government. We have publicly supported the progressive steps to reduce U.S. government oversight over the years and increase ICANN's independence. We played a leading role in producing the Montevideo Statement of 2013, which basically calls for accelerating the globalization of ICANN and IANA functions and predated the U.S. government announcement on IANA transition. We have been committed to the IANA transition, and our communities have worked hard to produce a workable plan. Our plan supports ICANN as the IANA operator and includes improved accountability mechanisms through contractual measures. That is an agreement which has been under discussion since mid-2015. The agreement, the SLA, is a critical part of our plan, as much as the CCWG proposal is critical to the NAMES plan, the CWG. Therefore, we expect that the SLA will be given the same priority. We have supported the CCWG plan, and we continue to support the transition. And we ask for support for the SLA as an equally critical part of the transition process. We urge the community to continue to support the transition process this week. And we urge the ICANN board to proceed with approval of the ICG and CCWG plans by the end of the week. We ask the ICANN board also to approve the SLA and commit that it will be signed at the same time frame as ICANN bylaws are updated. Finally, I would like to take this opportunity to thank and appreciate the tremendous work our different communities and volunteers devoted the last 24 months into this process. Thank you for your hard work, and thank you for your attention.
Could I ask somebody from the technical team be so kind to come to me? The internet connection is disrupted all the time. And next from the is CCNSO and the chair, Bayern Holland.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Bayern Holland, chair of the CCNSO, or the Country Code Name Supporting Organization, and also president and CEO of CIRA, the Canadian Country Code Manager. So what is the CCNSO? Effectively, we're a membership organization of almost 160 country code managers and operators. Many, if not most of us, in fact, predate ICANN. And there's a very significant diversity within our membership. Often the CCNSO is viewed as a relatively homogenous environment, but in fact, there is a remarkable diversity within our environment, within our business models. Some are operated by government departments, some are operated through educational institutions and academia. Many of us are private, not-for-profit corporations or organizations of some stripe, and a few of us even are for-profit companies. Almost none of us have any sort of contractual relationship with ICANN. We try to make it a collegial and consensual relationship that we have with ICANN, which on most days actually works. The CCNSO fundamentally is a supporting organization within the ICANN ecosystem that the issues of country code operators around the world is taken up, is discussed, and debated. But unlike our sister supporting organizations, the CCNSO does not necessarily represent its members, and typically we do not make decisions that are binding on behalf of our members. And that is a very important distinction. And that's what will help anybody understand the nature of the CCNSO. And fundamentally, the reason that we do that is because we represent the countries that we're from, or the domain name holders within our respective CCs. We are first and foremost bound by our jurisdictional environments, our legislative environments, our country's legal environments. And therefore, it would be very difficult to create binding policy across that wide range of legal, legislative, and political jurisdictions. So the CCNSO exists primarily as a forum for members to exchange ideas, best practices, and understand the challenges of CC operators and try to mitigate those by sharing information and expertise as best we can. So what are we focused on in the coming months, in the coming year? We do engage in substantive policy discussions within the ICANN ecosystem, and ICANN's direction is, of course, very important to us, because issues that are raised in ICANN do impact us. For example, the retirement, delegation, or transfer of CCTLDs, as you can imagine, is something very near and dear to our heart and something that does get discussed and policy developed within the ICANN ecosystem. The IANA transition and the CCWG accountability are both issues where we were chartering members, where our CC members have been very, very involved, and we have spent an enormous amount of time, like many of those in the ICANN ecosystem, wrestling with these challenging issues. CC operators as registries are direct customers of IANA. What happens to IANA, how it's operated, how it's managed, how it's overseen, as essentially our critical supplier, is of paramount importance to us. And we have paid very, very close attention to this transition as a result, both the stewardship transition and the associated accountability changes. The CCNSO later this week, in fact Wednesday afternoon, will be putting this decision to a vote within the CCNSO Council. So we still have a fair amount of work and discussion ahead of us on this important transition, but it will be absolutely critical to us that our community is comfortable with what's happened. We believe also that we need to pay very close attention to how the CSC or the Customer Standing Committee will be organized and operated. And of course, the new PTI will be of critical importance to us. How it is structured will be critical to its success. That it is consistent with the CWG stewardship proposal will be absolutely paramount in its success and support within our community. I'm going to take this moment. This is my last ICANN meeting as chair of the CCNSO. When I look at my colleagues to my right, I think I might be the oldest or longest serving, at least, one. And it has been a very, very interesting journey over the past number of years. Since my tenure began, using a little bit of poetic license, given Goran is not officially the new CEO, but I've worked with three ICANN CEOs, and I think if we all look back to only a few years ago, one of the common refrains was how slow everything was here. Nothing got done. Everything happened at a very slow pace. I think many people here would share with me the notion that that has changed rather dramatically. Things here have happened at a blistering pace. The common refrain now is volunteer fatigue. It has been a dramatic change. And during that time, the work of the two key threads, the CWG stewardship and CCWG accountability, have really put to the test the notion of cross-community working groups. And from my perspective, having worked with them, having worked on cross-community working groups prior to them, I am very confident in saying that the collateral benefit of these exercises has been we have truly engaged as a community in working with each other, understanding each other in a way that arguably we never did or never really had to before. We've had to listen to each other. We've had to work with each other. You know, I finally understand how the GNSO is organized and how they vote. And I'm finally starting to understand why there's always so many IP lawyers in bars around the world where ICANN meetings are held. But, you know, above all, I think that it has proven that the multi-stakeholder process can work. It's not always pretty. It's definitely messy. We all gave up something that was important to us to get this deal done, assuming we all get it done in the end. It was complex. It is complex. But in the end, we have taken something very difficult and as a community put our nose to the grindstone and transformed the future of the internet for the benefit of all of our domain name holders for all of the internet, I truly believe. So on that note, good luck to all of us in the coming week, and thank you very much. It's been a wonderful journey.
Thank you so much. It's hard to imagine that this will be your last ICANN event. I hope you will be seen in the future. Give me just a second, James. I would love you, because James is doing the last presentation, so if you would want to participate in the question and answers which are upcoming and you would love to make comments, please be so kind and queue The mic is in the center. I think we have one mic today. Yeah, one mic in the center. Thank you so much. So last presentation comes from the GNSO, the chair, James Blado. Please.
Thank you, Erica, and good afternoon. Last on the agenda, hopefully first in your hearts. I'm James Blaydell. I'm the chair of the GNSO, the generic name supporting organization, and part of the new leadership team of the GNSO, which includes our co-chairs, Heather Forrest from the non-contracted party house and Donna Austin from the contracted party house. The GNSO is responsible for developing generic top-level domain policy. It is a very large, diverse, and complex organization consisting of stakeholders ranging from registries and registrars to intellectual property, business users, commercial users, ISPs, and non-commercial users as well. We're organized in terms of a GNSO council, which is responsible for managing that policy development. And the council is divided into two separate houses, a contracted party house and a non-contracted party house. We also have three non-com appointees, if that weren't complicated enough. The policy development process at the GNSO is open. So just because I described all of these categories, perhaps some of you might be mentally picturing which of those buckets that you might fall into. But the fact is that we are open to participation and volunteers from all members of the community, regardless of whether or not you are actively engaged in any of the GNSO stakeholders or constituencies. What happened to my slide? I lost everything. You're supposed to hit the green button? Okay. Go back. Here we go. Something's happening. Yeah.
James, so, we were not given any slide deck. Would you like me to come up and take some from you?
Ouch. Marika. This is the part where I wish Marika were at the podium, right? Oh, no. Okay. So I just wanted to point out some or highlight some of the activities that you would have seen up on the screen at this time. So right now we've launched recently three new policy development processes, or PDPs as we call them. The first one is a Next Generation Registry Data Services, RDS. Many of you may have heard with great fondness the term WHOIS, and this generally is discussing and examining how we should replace the WHOIS system, and in fact, if we should at all. There is also a PDP underway to address the questions and issues surrounding a new round of new GTLDs. There is a PDP that's scheduled to be, we've actually voted to initiate a PDP at our last meeting on a review of rights protection mechanisms in new GTLDs, including a review of the UDRP. That's expected to be finalized and launched at our meeting here in Marrakesh. And finally, we have some internal housekeeping issues as well. For example, we are examining some review recommendations as we look into our own internal structures and processes as to improve GNSO operations. And of course, like most other SOs and ACs here in the community, we have spent a lot of time relative to the IANA transition and the associated accountability work. This was a significant portion of our work over the weekend sessions. We are scheduled to review the accountability report on at our public meeting on Wednesday. And I think that some parts of our community are ready to go. Other parts of our community still would like to discuss and examine some of the issues. So I'm hopeful that we will come to the meeting on Wednesday ready to make a decision. And then finally, when all of this is complete and we move into the post-IANA transition and into the implementation phase, both for accountability, Workstream 1, start to examine Workstream 2, and then focus on what ICANN looks like after the IANA transition. We are expecting and in fact, anticipating that members from the GNSO will be actively engaged in all of those efforts. We are both direct and indirect stakeholders and customers of the IANA functions, and I expect that we'll be heavily involved in those efforts as well. So thank you for your time, and if you have an interest in any of those issues, and how could you not, really? It's who is, it's new GTLDs, it's IANA transitions. Please come to one of our sessions and ask some of the folks there about how you can get involved and get engaged in these topics. Thank you.
Thank you, James. So would you be so kind when you raise your question, keep it under 2 minutes, please? And I'm not sure how we want to make it, because this is now a debate, of course, with the AECs and the ESOs as well. You are sitting there quite far away, actually, from the mics in case a question comes which is addressed to you. Do we...
Erica, if you want to throw a question to one of the ACSO reps,
you have the mics.
With my mic, sure.
Wonderful. Please. Please be so kind to introduce you as well.
Okay, thank you very much. My name is Sheon Ojedeji. ALAC member, but I'm speaking on my personal behalf. Just for clarification, I presume this particular questioning period is just for the SO and SCs, right? Not for the board yet. Correct. Okay. So my statement to the SO and SCs is that, in light of the report of the CCWG, and on the premise that the community will be significantly empowered compared to what we have now, irrespective of when WS2, that is Workstream 2, of the CCWG commences, I expect that each leader of SO and AC considers critical the need to initiate processes that attempt to review their respective internal processes in a manner that ensures adequate accountability to the community they represent or to the objectives they stand for. Now my question is there any leader of the SO or AC that disagrees with such expectation? Thank you.
Do we have somebody who would love to answer from you? Was it hard
actually,
to
answer? Anybody disagreeing, is anybody answering is actually disagreeing.
Nobody will disagree, I'm pretty sure.
Thank you.
I don't. Patrick, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm not disagreeing. I'm completely agreeing with what you're saying, that we're moving into a new world where we have to sort of, all of us need to work differently according to what now the consensus in the community is. What we have to remember, though, is that we have both the accountability workstream 2 issues, and then we have the normal review we have inside ICANN. So, for example, what is related to ASAC is not only the ASAC review that we are coming into really soon, because we were the first SO and AC that had a normal organizational review, and we are moving into that now. We also have for ASAC, we also have a relationship with the normal ICANN SSR review team and the review that is going on, and then we expect both final implementation of the ATRT2 and potentially ATRT3. So we have multiple of these reviews that we have to look at, and we also have to make sure in the community that we are keeping them in sync and learning from each other and not trying to do sort of double work or confusing all of us by trying to come or even risk coming to with different different conclusions in the different reviews that are going on.
Thank you. Jimmy, please introduce you.
Yeah, Jimmy Schulz. I'm a member of the ALEC at Large Advisory Committee. I'm from Germany, and I don't have the pleasure to speak in my mother tongue here. Yes, well, we've heard a lot about the transition and accountability process, and you already heard that the ALAC yesterday already voted on it with a tremendous vote from the community, from the internet users, and all the other groups are voting this week, most of them on Wednesday. And I would really please... ask them to reconsider those who have still problems with it, that this is a one-time chance. We have to do it now, and we have to vote for it because we don't know what's going to happen in November in the U.S. Maybe this is the last chance we have. So please, if you have any problems, considerations, talk, reconsider that it is a good compromise. It's a compromise, yes, it's a good compromise, and it's better what we have. And we will make that. I'm in a good mood that this will change the ICANN, this will change the internet to the good. So please reconsider that and give that a chance. And yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Jimmy. Next, please.
Constantine from Dot Music. Over 10 globally recognized organizations filed a reconsideration request to overturn the grossly negligent Dot Music CPE report, which, when examined against the AGB and passing CPE results, demonstrates clear procedural errors. Our community definition, an organized logical alliance of music communities, was omitted. The community name, the music community, was ignored too. Despite unprecedented support from organizations with members representing over 95% of global music consumed, the majority criterion was never assessed. The findings were silent and conclusory. The International Federation for the Phonographic Industry, the IFPI, which administers ISO 3901 standard codes for uniquely identifying music globally, was also disregarded as a recognized music community organization, despite its status with the United Nations and WIPO. Had the same fair standards been applied as the other prevailing CPEs, Dot Music would have passed. In a letter to the board, the IFPI objected to the CPE findings, noting serious misgivings about transparency, consistency, and accountability of the CPE process. Music's regulated sector was disregarded too. The CPE report deemed the music community has no cohesion. How does copyright work without cohesion? It is a disservice to internet users and the public interest that ICANN agreed that all these illegitimate and inconsistent findings were compelling and defensible. We remind the board that it accepted GAC Category 1 advice that all of the music community operates in a cohesive regulated sector. The result, based on a contravening established processes, procedure implementation, and reliance on factual misrepresentations, materially harms the music community and internet users with respect to consumer trust, safety, and protection. We still believe in the process and as such request the board to accept the reconsideration request. Any delay in delegating Dot Music to the music community harms the music community and the internet. We're available for a hearing to answer any of your questions. Will this be possible? Thank you.
Thank you. This topic is under reconsideration, but Chris, please, you want to respond briefly.
Thank you, Erica. Constantine, just to say, as you know, the reconsideration request has been filed, and there's a process to go through, but I want you to know that we have listened to you and heard you, and I've no doubt you'll continue to tell us what you think and believe. So I can't comment. Obviously, you understand it wouldn't be appropriate, but thank you for coming to the microphone.
Yes, please.
Good afternoon. Paul Foody, speaking on my behalf. I've got a number of questions. I'll just ask the questions, and if you can answer them after or on Thursday, that'd be great. First of all, can ICANN please encourage buses coming to and from supporting hotels to run as close to time as possible? I was waiting 35 minutes with people yesterday, and I feel sorry for them. Has ICANN deliberately removed links to past meeting transcripts from its meetings webpage? Will ICANN be replacing those links anytime soon? A third question. Bill Gates famously predicted the internet tidal wave back in 1995, at which time he said that any business not online would be going out of business. How long do you think it is before ICANN becomes more powerful than any government on the planet? Another question. At the high-level GAC meeting today, Akram Atala described the demand for second-round dot brands as a success of the new GTLD program. He's predicting a serious demand for dot brands in the future. ICANN has said it will never permit more than 1,000 top-level domains to be incorporated into the root in any one year. If only 10,000 dot brand applications are received, how will ICANN justify to waitlisted dot brand wannabes that they have to wait up to 10 years whilst current dot brand competitors make hay? A second part to that question. Harold Alverstrand said that a root of 1 million names would be a terrible idea. How many TLDs can now join the root before it becomes a terrible idea? Finally, because I'm sure you've had enough of me and I think that the clock's wrong. Does ICANN still seriously believe the future does not involve dotless domains? Thank you very much. You can answer now or Thursday. It's your call. And thank you very much, Fadi, for everything you've done. I really appreciate it.
Can I do it in the order? So I will not go. I don't think so. We will respond to all of your questions. But one, the Buzzet, we will clarify. We will take this off here. We'll do this afterwards. The links to web pages, I doubt that stuff will respond because probably they're simple mistakes. We will look into it. If you could send us the links which are missing, so then it's much easier
to. There's no link to the previous meetings anymore.
To the previous meetings. Got you. Then I misunderstood this. Gates is not really a question. The dot brand, not sure. You want to put this up, Fadi? Or whatever you want to say. Or Akram. Somebody? Akram? No? Okay, fine. No? Yes?
Now, all I was going to say is that I will miss you.
I'm not aware I'm going anywhere.
I am.
You don't say. Thank you very much. Well, I prefer a considered response to the bigger issues, please.
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you.
Video link question.
Proceed. Brad, you want to come in with the video link question first?
Thank you. We've got a question from our video hub in Calabar, Nigeria, Mr. Okong Peter. Mr. Peter? Mr. Peter, if you can hear me, we don't have any audio. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll get back to you in just a few minutes. Why don't we take a couple in the queue here in the room?
Yeah, we'll see what we have to do. Sort this out with the commercial break. Please, next.
Fiona Songa, for the record. I'd like to start by just thanking Fadi for how far you've brought us and the time that you've been with us. And to pose a question to the different SEs and SOs. Over the last couple of years, the one thing that the ICANN has been working on is the issue of diversity. And I believe that that still has a long way to go to be achieved. Some of the issues that we are looking at as we go through the transition process is the question of diversity, which again is going to be addressed, I believe, in Workstream 2. However, in the meantime, I think it is important for us to have a way in which our respective SEs and SOs are making an effort to address the issue of diversity, and not just when you come to a region such as ours, that you focus on trying to reach to the different potential members of your respective SEs and SOs. I would like to challenge you, now that you're in Africa, I know that I'm helping a number of groups to reach out to potential members within the community within the African region who would fit into your respective SEs and SOs. I would like to challenge you to retain them because it's good that you're here and they're attending, but what do you do to support their continual participation? It's not just enough for you to come and see us in the room when you come to our region, but we need to be able to continue engaging through other ICANN processes and activities. And that begins with plugging into the SEs and SOs and being guided, mentored through so that we can appropriately engage and participate. Because the only SEs and SOs that seem to accommodate Global Diversity, the GAC, the ELAC, the ASO, and a few others within the rest of the different groups, in some groups in the GNSO, but would like to equally be engaged and participate like our counterparts in Europe and North America. Thank you.
What do you want to make a comment? I think it's probably Mike.
I just wanted to make a suggestion. If you go to the meetings webpage, and if you click on calendar and archives, you'll find the full archive of all of the meetings. If you go into each of them individually, you'll find all of the sessions with all of the transcripts for all of the sessions. Now, I haven't tested each and every one individually, but just a random sample that I've done in the room shows that they're all there and they all work.
Thank you, Mike. This was with regard to the question of the missing links, yes. And with regard to the last question about gender diversity, I think this is it's a point we all have to work on. It's not just the ACs and the SOs. We all have to do more and be more engaged altogether. Please.
Hi. Greg Shatton, president of the Intellectual Property Constituency, member of the Commercial Stakeholder Group. So I guess it's appropriate I'm coming during the commercial break. In any event, I'll be speaking in my personal capacity and to an extent as a member or participant in the CWG. This morning in the IANIM transition implementation meeting, we saw or learned that it appears that the and this is a question for the AC and SO leaders, so just make sure they know where this is being directed. This morning we saw or learned in the IANA stewardship transition meeting that it appears that the implementation, at least in the eyes of ICANN staff, would be subcontracted back to ICANN staff. In my view, this was not consistent with the CWG's view or activities, and I think we saw kind of an instance of it already where the proposed structure for PTI or implementation of PTI seemed to be at odds with at least my understanding as a constant member of the CWG of the structure that was intended for PTI. So I'm wondering if any of the AC or SO leaders, also as chartering organizations and as customers, have any comments on this. Thank you.
Thanks. Certainly as chartering members and being personally very involved in the CWG stewardship myself and knowing the discussions that happened there, it is certainly my expectation and interpretation that there would be separate staff and budget for the PTI. As many of us here will recall, there was a long and to some degree acrimonious debate around separability and the compromises that had to be made around that. And one is that the PTI would have separate budget and its own staff. And certainly from our perspective, that is our expectation. I think it's in the letter of the document, and if not clear, it was certainly in the spirit of the document. So it would be my expectation that there would be PTI-specific staff and not just simply contracted back into ICANN.
Thank you.
Erica, if I may interject.
Sorry.
Erica, I'm over here. Just now, Fiona asked a question to the SOAC leaders that I thought was quite relevant to Africa and quite important to enhance ICANN's diversity. And I was wondering if some of the SOAC leaders can address that question where she posed, what can you do? Can you think of ways to retain the participation of the African community that's participating at this meeting in the future? And that applies to other regions as well when we go to ICANN meetings.
Brett, would you be so kind to give? Thank you.
Oh, thank you for the question. We in the GAC
attach a lot of importance to participation of countries for different regions of the world. As I said, we have reached 162 members in the GAC. I think most of African countries belong to the GAC already, but it's never enough. We are very fortunate to come with the help of ICANN, and I will mention two instances. The first one is a travel support program that benefits 30 countries each time, and I think also five slots are allotted to international organizations that are completely composed or made of countries belonging to underserved regions. We also been working with the global engagement team of ICANN to try to attract more countries and international regional organizations to ICANN. And there is a working group dedicated only to look at issues that are of interest for developing countries. There have been a presentation today in the high-level governmental meeting about their work. And we also make extensive use of translation and interpretation services. And we, in all our conference calls and email exchanges, try to be as inclusive as possible. But we'll be very grateful to receive new ideas, new ways to incorporate more people into our work. Sorry.
It's Alan Greenberg for ALAC. I'm going to address both questions. In terms of the PTI subcontracting, there was always an intent that we subcontract things like human resources and finance and not necessarily have our own people. There certainly wasn't a belief or understanding within the group that the major functions would be subcontracted. In fact, there was very specific talk about the staff being transferred. Perhaps transferred under full contract, but transferred nonetheless. In terms of maintaining contact from some of the people who are participating in this meeting, I can only speak on behalf of ALAC. We're doing several different things. Number one, we've taken the person that I believe is the most experienced person in at large and is mentoring two people from Africa that will be continuing for the rest of the year. And when that mentor mentors people, they don't disappear afterwards. It's not allowed. We've also brought in groups of a large number of students and a number of NGOs from Africa. We are spending a large amount of time and resources to make sure they understand the environment, and we're very optimistic that we'll see a significant number of them staying around. Thank you.
Paul Jackfeldstrom from ESSEC. Regarding the question about the PTI, we in ESSEC, we developed for the CCWG and CWG our red lines regarding the implementation guidelines. And we are not surprised that there will be interpretation discussions around the whatever we now have, the text that we have agreed upon that we need to talk about during the implementation phase. So let me just stop by saying that I'm not surprised that we will have more of these discussions. We just saw the beginning now. But let's move into the implementation phase so we can deal with all of these issues. Regarding diversity, we in ESSEC do focus specifically on skill diversity, and that is something to not forget in this environment. And I'm very happy that we don't only have technical people on ESSEC, but also lawyers and people with other kind of background. Regarding outreach and connection with people that are, for example, from Africa, we are working very hard in general with the fellowship program. We're reaching out and working with them. And regarding outreach of our activities, we're working with ALAC, and they helped us quite a lot regarding spreading our material. And what else are we doing? Yes, we also work with the communication team, just like ALEC said, to be able to be better on staying in touch. Finally, one thing that is really important for us in ESSEC is that we only conclude and make our decisions via email. We do not do it face-to-face. And that is just because everyone must be able to participate, even though you only have the ability to access to email under very low bandwidth. And every time we make a decision, everyone have at least 48 hours, if not a week, to respond to that email. No decisions are made face-to-face, and we think that is really important for us. Thank you.
Real quick, on the diversity question, Brad with RSAC, maybe this is a shameless plug, but the caucus, the RSAC caucus, we're always looking for new members, and that's a great opportunity for you to get engaged and stay engaged with us in the RSAC, and I'm happy to provide that afterwards if you need that.
Just a few comments on both questions. On the diversity, the NRO, the Numbers Resource Organization, has a diverse executive committee, one from each region. The ASO, the Address Supporting Organization Address Council, has also a diverse group, three from each region. We also have additional committees or liaisons. For example, in the CCWG, we had this group diverse as well, but we had only four persons. Anyway, we managed to have from different regions as well. The thing is that it is difficult to have a good level of participation. One of the persons from these liaisons is from Cuba, and he had restrictions to use some of the tools that were required to have communication with the CCWG and the rest of the INR transition. So even if he would be able to make those calls, the required bandwidth is not the regular in some of the countries. So we have to pay attention to that as well. And second, in the PTI, as you know, the numbers proposal is independent from whether there is a PTI or not. But we have provision in our text, in our contract, that that could happen, and we are okay with that. The thing is that, from my personal view, and as a manager, I think that this is a beautiful opportunity to actually separate costs on the costs that some of the supporting organizations are asking for. In my previous life as a CCNSO member, I recall that we've been asking for that split of costs, and I think that this is a good opportunity to have that separated costs. And now the numbers community are asking for that as well. And I think that ICANN staff should take that opportunity to have that split of costs.
You want to say it, Brett, that the queue is closed?
Yeah, we have closed the queue at this point. Erica, we do have an online question. Do you want me to take that one right now?
If it's working, yeah.
It's not the video hub, but it is a question that came in online specifically for James Bladel of the GNSO from Mr. William Cunningham, who's asking about the rationale for replacing Who Is.
Hi, thank you, and thanks for the question. I think the answer is that it's probably premature to conclude that we will be replacing Who Is. This is part of a long process, and actually it's both at the end of a long process and the beginning of a new long process that was initiated by the board, and before that, an expert working group and a Who Is review team. And now the PDP has begun. This effort is going to look at a number of issues associated with Who Is. The use cases, the needs, issues like privacy and other concerns that probably were not a factor when Who Is was created almost 40 years ago. Obviously, it needs to be looked at from top to bottom. One of the options or possible outcomes of this work would be to change the existing system. One of the options might be to replace it, and one of the options might be to do nothing. We don't want to presume the outcome because this work is just beginning, but I think the rationale for changing it is one of the discussions topics that's on the table. Thanks.
Thank you. The queue is closed, just to that is well understood, please. No, not you. You are fine. The two ladies there now, but I don't want somebody else to queue. Yeah. Oh, one. Fine.
اسمحوا لي بأن أتكلم باللغة العربية. اسمي
I am Hajar Abdelkafi, member of the Bar Association in Tunis. So I was saying that I am Hajar Abdelkafi, a member of the National Bar Association in Tunis and an association militant. I was invited by you, and I'm thankful for that, to attend this 55th meeting of ICANN. I thank you for that on occasion of Nobel Prize. I'm not qualified because these are technical matters, especially that it's first time for me, but I have some primary impressions about that as a law militant and an association and civil society militant. What I notice is first the absence of the aspect, or at least absence or shortcoming in the legal aspects in ICANN. This is for one. Second, you focus more on internal aspects, be it technically or organizationally, without handling the ICANN relationship with the outside world. Especially that today in Africa, there are major challenges. Africa is fertile for ICANN, and I think, excuse me, I think that ICANN today, it is in its interest to establish extensive relationships with institutions, be it professional or governmental or non-governmental, in African countries. The third comment, and it's my last comment, the African and Arabic presence is almost absent, and thank you.
ICANN meeting, it's a privilege to have you here, and wish you good luck on the Nobel Prize. It's I have many friends which have tried many times, so it's wonderful that you are here. Somebody would love to say, Asha, you're looking excited, you would like to make a comment?
Not excited. Well, I'm excited that we got that wonderful lady to speak. I just wanted to agree with the comments you made, Erica. So.
Okay, thank you. I had to smile a little bit on your first comment about the legal side. I think there would be many in the room here who would say we have too many lawyers here. But I'm sure it's your first meeting, so we will look forward to having more discussion with you about this topic. Steve, it's your turn. No, that's the lady with the queue. She's fine. I couldn't see her.
She closed the queue.
I couldn't see her. She was standing behind the other lady.
So how was this for everybody?
Steve, can I interrupt?
Yep.
For 1 second. We've established, in fairness to Mr. Peter in Nigeria, if we have time, I'd love to be able to take this gentleman. He's been waiting for some time. We finally got that video hub back up, if we can do that.
Excellent. Let's do that.
Mr. Peter in Calabar, Nigeria.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. We can.
How can the city of countries not be undermined? And are there any ways, or how can subnational levels and local governments be involved in this process? What is the role of the consumer? What is the possibility of assigning digital numbers to global citizens to track crime and illegality? Transboundary activities.
Mr. Peter, I'm sorry. Unless somebody had better luck than me, you were broken. Your audio was broken, and it was very hard to understand. Was that only me, or did anybody? If you could send that question to us online, Mr. Peter, we'll be happy to deal with that. I'm sorry, the audio problems are persisting. You're just sort of inaudible. But shoot that to us online, and we'll address it. Steve, we have one more online question. Can we take that before we close?
Yes, but let me thank you for the prior question and apologize for the audio. But do send it, and we'll answer it very carefully. Thank you. All right, one more.
Yes, sir. This is an online question from Mr. Balil Aru. I wanted to get your thoughts on the VOIP ban in Morocco. If possible, the ANRT president can give us an explanation for the ban, since his agency is behind this ban.
Yeah, that's outside the scope of what we can handle here, I'm afraid. Yeah, I'm sorry, that's not a question which we're going to deal with here. All right, that brings to an end this part of the public forum, and the next one will be 1:30 in the afternoon on Thursday, 3 days from now, right here. Same room. We'll see you then. There's various activities scheduled this evening, including the Afralo celebration, and then several days of work in front of us. See you all. Thanks.